Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Where it is 9:41, and this is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. We check in with Dr. Kevin Most. Doctor, you will remember when the pandemic began to wane down a little bit, and people were saying, oh, well, you're still doing that COVID segment. No need to. The COVID's over. It's done with. It's finished. And it laid low for a little while, but now we're seeing it surging again. Many counties in Illinois, many communities here in the state of Illinois have gone from medium alert to high alert again. We're seeing that all over the country. First of all, good morning and welcome. Second of all, why this happening? Why is this happening?
Yeah, Dean, thanks. You know, it is interesting, and we have to realize not only if we look locally what's happening here, but also look globally. So anybody who thinks that just because we took masks off that this was over, we have a rude awakening in front of us. So certainly we're finding a couple of things. One, we haven't seen the number of people get the boosted vaccination. Two, we're starting to see more infections, but fortunately, the increase in hospitalizations is not as big as we would see what we could possibly expect based on the number of cases. So in other words, people are getting more mild cases, not needing to be hospitalized. But unfortunately, this is just continuing to spread. And, you know, South Africa has very bad numbers coming out again. And if you remember, they were the ones that, you know, that started this all for the second Omicron variant. And now we're also hearing big cases starting in North Korea as well, which is very concerning.
And all of these things led to increases here in the United States in the past, which is why we're concerned about the global trends. But, I mean, without a doubt, we're seeing things beginning to rise here in Illinois. You know, a lot of companies that, you know, people have gone back into their office places. COVID has broken out and people are going back to working at home again.
Yeah, that's probably one of the biggest impacts that we have to understand is not the stress that's going to put on the hospitals, because right now, like we said, this infection is not forcing a lot of hospitalizations except those older and immunocompromised. But it certainly is going to put a lot of stress on the economy. As you know, that's one of the things that we track right now at the hospital is how many nurses, respiratory therapists, radiation, how many of those are out with COVID every day. And that's a number that, you know, impacts how we can treat people. It's the same whether you're in a hospital or you're making widgets. You're still going to be looking at this workforce that is going to be potentially spreading the illness, and you have to make sure you're safe in a safe work environment.
So is it your suggestion that we put the masks back on?
You know, I'm not sure that genie's out of the bottle. I'm not sure that that's going to be able to come back, because I think what they're going to use is the hospitalization numbers and say that we're okay. A little bit concerning. People who have been vaccinated are still getting this illness. And, you know, the long COVID numbers are the ones that's going to start to scare people. I would certainly, you know, I'm going to travel next week. I'm certainly going to wear a mask on the airplane and in the airport. And I'm really careful about where I'm around and when I'm in the indoor environment, how I'm acting and who I'm interacting with. I don't want to get this. I've had too many friends that have gotten this and have had not a fun time with it.
Even with the vaccinations and boosters, I've heard from so many people saying, I've been vaccinated. I've got both of my booster shots and I still got it. I mean, this is not a preventative vaccination. Doesn't mean you're not going to get it. Just means that your symptoms are going to be less severe. Am I right about that?
Absolutely. You're spot on right there. People do need to understand that. This vaccine are going to prevent you from ending up in the hospital, ending up in the ICU, ending up on a ventilator. That science is out there and has been proven. But still, you could get mild cases. But those individuals who have the antibodies can fight this off so much better. So, you know, I've been fully boosted. You know, that's my recommendation. And, you know, we're talking about a fall surge. Well, you know, there's a lot of people talking about a summer surge that over the next couple of weeks, we're going to see if that pans out just based on the numbers. Like you said, look what's happened in Illinois, where we have gone from low counties all the way to high counties within a matter of 5 weeks.
Yeah, that's disturbing to me. even though people, you know, are not going into the hospitals as much as they were, even though the severity of symptoms are not what they were, there are still lasting effects, though, isn't there, of being testing positive for COVID?
100%. You know, we don't know enough about this illness, but we certainly know that individuals that get it, a large percentage, still have symptoms 6 months later, whether it's brain fog, a little cognitive slowness, shortness of breath, heart issues. We have to understand that, oh, yeah, so-and-so got it and they were better in a couple of days. Yeah, well, there's a big population that's not better in a couple of days. And just for your own well-being and those around you, just make sure you're as protected as you can be.
Yeah, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and get to as many questions as we can. For Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Central DuPage Hospital. WGN. This is Jane on with Dr. Kevin Most from Central DuPage Hospital. Jane, you're on WGN.
Hi, Dr. Most. I have a quick question. I got my first booster in December. Wanted to know how many months after the first should we get the second?
Yeah, so if you got your first booster in December, you wait 4 months. So December, January, February, March, April, you are good to go right now. So certainly you're good, and it's 4 months after your booster that you're good to go for the second booster.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Now, did you get Pfizer or Moderna or something else?
All my shots have been Moderna.
Okay, so does she stay with Moderna, Dr. Most, or what do you suggest?
Yeah, you know, Jane, I'm one that thinks more about mixing than matching. But if you've had great success with Moderna and hasn't given you great side effects, a lot of people say, why would I risk it? But certainly, I can tell you, I got two Pfizers and two Modernas. So I like to make sure that I get at least coverage because although they're COVID vaccines, they are a little bit different and you gain a little bit with the percentage.
And do you foresee a third booster in the fall? Or
Jane,
has there been any talk about
it? Jane, you couldn't have teed it up any better for me. Yeah, yes, I do. Thank you for that. And I do. And they're working on right now, which is interesting. The vaccine that we're taking right now, everyone has to remember, that is based on the original COVID, right? We've had Omicron, we've had Delta, we've had BA2, we had BA4. The one that they're looking at and working on right now is actually going to be what we call bivalent. So it's going to have two strains, very similar to what we do for influenza. What's the most predominant strain? Put it in the vaccine to protect. So really, the vaccination that we get in the fall should be much superior to what we have now, as long as we can predict which strain is going to be the dominant one going forward.
And is there any risks, per se, if we keep getting them every 4 months? Or
you know, it's one of those where we're going to learn how well the body remembers, and hopefully we're going to, again, get to a more specific vaccine and then watch the trends in the community. I'm hoping that this is going to be an annual shot in the fall, but certainly time will tell as this little virus has really wreaked havoc with all of us.
It's very much like going to be like the flu shot that, you know, in theory we should all get once a year, right?
Absolutely. And you would hope that in the future it's going to be one shot. You're going to get influenza and COVID in the exact same shot. So it's going to only be one jab in the arm.
One shot shopping, as it goes.
Right.
Jane, thank you for the call and good luck with all of that. Here is the 708 area code saying, I tested positive 2 weeks ago. When am I no longer contagious?
Well, I wish that question was super easy to answer because then it would be nice to just be able to say day X. It really is going to be based on your symptoms. So if you still have a fever, you still have a cough, we're going to consider you still being contagious, just as we would almost any other illness. People also have to understand that they can continue to test positive and not be contagious. So we're telling most people 10 to 14 days after their symptoms have abated that they will no longer be contagious. So be careful during that time. And anyone you're around is going to have that in the back of their mind as well. So if you can easily say, hey, haven't had symptoms for 10 or 14 days, I am good. You know, that's certainly the way that we can go and decrease the spread.
Here's Lisa with Dr. Kevin Most. You're on WGN.
Good morning, Dr. Most and Dean. So my question is, we have been thinking my mother had COVID like a year and a half ago. And we've been thinking all this time that she's had like that long COVID because she's kind of been like in a brain fog. Then last week she was in the emergency room in the hospital. She had a CAT scan. We found out that she had a stroke.
Lost the phone line. We lost the phone line there. So how do you differentiate between, symptoms of COVID and other things which may be going on, I guess? I hope was the question.
And Lisa has a very interesting question, right? They assumed it was long COVID. And what her mother may have had is a bunch of mini strokes. But some of the symptoms for stroke and some of the symptoms for long COVID are certainly kind of there, a little bit about confusion and things. But really for stroke, we're looking for muscle weakness. We're looking for slurred speech. We're looking for very specific things. But having mini strokes can certainly give this. And I would say anybody who has that concern, certainly get in to see your doctor, because it can be your thyroid that's causing you to be tired. It can be anemia. It can be diabetes. There are so many different things that can cause it. It could be AFib in your heart. So certainly getting into your doctor instead of just assuming it's probably long COVID would be a great idea.
Yeah, Dr. Kevin Most is Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Kev, have a great day today. Thank you so much.
You got it, Dean. Take care.